Welcome to the Divorcee Cafe on Divine Wisdom Media. This is Aleph.
And this is Asia.
And we're here to talk about our divorces and tell you why we're starting the Divorcee Cafe.
That sounds like a great idea. So we both felt a need, actually. When Aleph and I were actually connecting and sharing ideas and everything, we kind of realized, you know, it's you don't realize you're divorced. You didn't realize that it was going to be such a connection between the two of us, actually. But it's as the stories come up and as things kind of come out, as we have discussions, we both realize that one of the common things that we shared was when we first were getting divorced, in the consideration of this process and shifting perspectives and realizing this was really going to be not just a possibility, but the path we were both going to take. We both realized we stepped into this about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we both wished there was somebody we could reach out to.
Some sort of support, that you didn't feel alone.
Exactly.
That you weren't just kind of flying blind in the middle of the night trying to hope to figure out your way.
Exactly. And we didn't know each other then. You know, we hadn't met each other yet. And so independent of each other, we took some very individual and powerful paths. I love your story. I love what it is that you did to empower yourself and step forward because of the lack of that support, or your perceived lack of that support for you at the time. And my story was my story. And I felt like I had gone through a place where I had done a lot of healing in the relationship. I personally had been married for 25 years.
Wow.
My divorce was final 2 weeks before my 25th anniversary. And so in that process, you know, of that length of time, there were some things that, you know, I was working through that actually taking a relationship with that kind of longevity and then considering, what does this look like for me? What does it look like for him? What does it look like for our six children? And what are the repercussions? And then realizing, you know, I couldn't really even forecast the repercussions. And holding the realization that I couldn't control really anything except the way I chose to show up, that was a process. And that took a number of years, actually, to come to terms with, or come to really wrapping my arms around.
I can imagine it shifts your whole identity.
It did.
You've been identified as a mom, as a wife for 25 years in the community, and then now you're stepping out 25 years later. I know for me, it was hard. I was married for 10. We were together for 12 years. And we did cross that threshold of a decade in the middle of the divorce. And it was very anticlimactic. I'm like, wow, I've been married for a decade. Like, what does that mean?
Right.
Do I get any special little gold star? You know?
Do I get the gold star? I'm over here going, well, I guess I don't get the silver platter. That's supposed to show up somewhere.
Is it diamonds, ruby, silver? What do you get? And do you buy it for yourself if you're celebrating it?
Yeah, no, I'm exactly. How does that come about? Does that come about?
There's no Hallmark card
There's
for
no
that.
No.
Good try.
That may be a good, never mind. We're not even going to go into that one. Marketing is not what we're talking about today. So. But yeah, it was very, there was definitely some trepidation. There was, and even beginning with the realization of, wow, this is actually what is going to happen, what I am going to choose into. And I remember the moment, in that there was a moment for me, that I realized that my wonderings about, are we going to be getting divorced, and the discussions that we've been having, and the marriage counseling that we had been through or were continuing with, and all of the things that I felt like were in line to rescue the relationship. I remember the moment when I realized we're getting divorced, and that moment came as my husband and I were in marriage counseling, And during the discussion, it became very clear to me that everything in his perception, everything that he was doing, was saying, the place that he was living from made complete sense to him. And it was almost like I had this new light shine on the relationship, and where I was kind of thinking, well, if he could just tweak this, and he was thinking, well, she's the problem, and you know, all of these things that were kind of finding itself and kind of rolling around and tumbling around, like, you know, together. I don't know why the realization showed up the way it did, but I just remember having this moment of clarity where, because everything in his world and in his perception made so much sense to him, it absolutely made no sense to him to see anything any differently than he did. And because I realized that about him, because I realized in his world, I was the problem, what I was doing was broken, what I was doing was causing all of the issues, what I was doing was destroying the family. I mean, all of these words and just the way it was being framed, instead of actually taking the time to try and change his perspective, I realized not only can I not, it's not even worth stepping into to try to do that, because without him actually engaging in the, hey, I want to see something differently, I want to look at this differently, what's my part in this? There was no room for that, not because he had shut down anything, it's just he hadn't even stepped into opening up for that awareness.
There was no awareness that there was a problem. If there's no awareness that there's a problem, then there's no collaborative effort to come to some sort of resolution.
Not at all. You know, and it was interesting to me, because the minute I had that realization, I felt a shift within me of complete compassion, which was surprising, because, you know, the result is, oh my goodness, I now know we are going to get divorced. And so all of the fears and all of the stuff in the closet and all of this stuff that I felt like I'd been kind of holding back, you know, had the finger in the dike kind of thing. It's like, we can't let this just, you know, kind of dissolve. That no longer mattered. As far as, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? It actually shifted into this compassionate part of me where I realized, wow, this is really where he's coming from. And I was able to embrace my awareness of his awareness. And through that, my own love for myself, my own confidence in what needed to happen from here forward shifted. And so from there, I was like, okay, now I do know we are going to get divorced, because I know myself well enough now that because he chooses to view things this way and it makes complete sense to him, and I am viewing things from a different perspective, which makes sense to me, these perspectives are not matching up. And there's not, with all the bridging we've been trying to do or whatever, from this perspective, from this place, the bridge doesn't exist. It's not there. We're not at a meeting point. And so it made sense to me that from here, now I have a path that I'm stepping on that is going to be clearly headed to divorce.
And how did you kind of wrap your head around that path where you didn't know where you were going? Like, how did you take that leap and just go, okay, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to step off onto it anyway, or where I'm going to go or where it's going to take me, but I just got to go.
I think that's a great question, in that what happened for me was, I think my biggest barrier at the time was wondering if we were going to get divorced. I mean, I was still holding on to the possibility of, So when that happened, it actually created a really powerful base for me to actually take that step and be confident in taking that step, really not knowing where I was going. And so it reframed the whole world of where is my next path, and, you know, what are the possibilities, and it kind of crystallized it and you know, gave me some signposts. So I knew that there needed to be, or thought there needed to be, a divorce lawyer involved, and that is the path. I did choose a lawyer. I mean, 25 years, I was thinking there's a lot that collectively we had in our marriage that that we, I felt like we would need some outside help. So I felt like I would get an attorney, he would get an attorney, which is what we did. And we actually did choose to go into mediation with it, and that was a little further down the road when we got there. But just getting advice from an attorney and interviewing an attorney and wondering how I was going to go about it. And I felt like I was really alone in a lot of ways because my friend base or my perceived friend base didn't seem to be really supportive, or maybe it was even I felt like, you know, the friends that I did have at the time were supportive of me in that, hey, we love you, and I know this must be really hard, but I never sensed anybody wanting to step in and engage with me on, hey, I've got a great lawyer, or hey, you know, let's help you with this, and have you thought about your finances, and have you thought about, you know, how you could, you know, where you could get a little more information on what you do with the kids, or how you separate, or even view what you have collectively as a couple. I mean, I had none of that stepping in to support me because I was really challenging a cultural base in a number of ways. I mean, in familial wise, on my side of the family, I had one divorced aunt, and on my ex-husband's side, he had one divorced aunt. And so, and this was like generationally. I mean, there was one time that I was actually thinking of the generations in our particular marriage, in our particular, you know, weddedness, how many people in our families had been divorced. And we could count them on one hand, you know, honestly. And that was threatening even to the whole family dynamic. It's like nobody really knew how to interact or how to volunteer or how to show up. And so they didn't. And then with the religious background of being LDS, that's not exactly a position that people kind of jump in and volunteer and say, hey, you know, here's an option or here's something else. And in fact, it was very confusing in the whole realm that I was operating in for the people that were neighbors, that were religious members, that were friends in the community, outside of the community. It was just, I really felt like an anomaly in a lot of ways. And so there was a lot of searching. I felt like I was really doing a lot on my own. And luckily for me, I felt like I was pretty capable. And, you know, I am where I am right now. I'm not going to look back and say, no, I wasn't, or yes, I was. It just gave me the courage to step further into it and say, all right, I know that this feels right to me. I know at the end of the day, what's important is that I can stand next to myself. I can put my arm around me and say, this is okay. This is all right. You know in your heart, you know in your bones, you know in your soul that although this is very, very difficult, this is right in alignment with you and what's where you're headed and where you need to go next. And there's going to be a lot of suspicion, a lot of judgment, a lot of people asking you to justify, a lot of, you know, a lot of outside pressure that is going to want to direct you or direct me into this way or that way or whatever. And I was in a position where, because I had that solidarity of myself in that moment, that making that decision, seeing my ex-husband and knowing, having that compassion for where his perception was coming from, and knowing that my perception didn't match, and knowing that this was really going to be unhealthy, you know, from that point forward in longevity and in years and that kind of thing, that was something that needed to actually find its own completion.
That's so lovely.
Thank you.
Well, right now we're going to take a break and do a little cha-cha and listen to some sponsors, and we'll see you in a few minutes.
Did you know that blocked energy and negative thought patterns have the ability to adversely affect our health and well-being? At Transformational Therapies, we believe that by establishing balance through a combination of massage, energetic bodywork, transpersonal hypnotherapy, and coaching, a stronger connection to self and source is developed, creating positive transformation for the mind, body, and soul. For more information on our services and classes, log on to transformationaltherapies.org.
Who's got the inside intel on what's hot, what's happening, and what's uniquely Utah in your neighborhood? You do. The List is a Utah-exclusive publication supporting our dynamic and thriving incubator of entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, and the communities that support the best that local businesses have to offer. We want you to write for The List. Send us a review of what you think makes Utah unique. Contact us at www.thelistut.com for more information.
Welcome back. This is Divorcee Cafe on Divine Wisdom Media. I'm Asia.
I'm Aleph.
And we are here talking about our own divorce moments, you know, as we come into realizing or having our own realization that the marriages that we had were finding completion. And so I shared a little bit about my realization and my moment. And I'm not too sure everybody has a moment, has the epiphany of, wow, this is now the path I'm going to be taking.
The breaking point.
The breaking point. Yeah, there. I mean, you know, we do have breaking points here and there, definitely. But I did have a very, very real epiphany, and it was full of a lot of compassion and a lot of love for myself and for my ex-husband and for the process that was about to commence, even though I had no idea where that was going to go. Not really sure how it was going to show up, end up, or anything. I just knew it was that time that I actually stepped onto that path of saying, I am now going to get divorced. I am now going to pursue this, and the destination and the outcome is going to be me signing a paper and him signing a paper, and we're going to be divorced. So I'm just kind of curious, as I shared that, what did, you know, Aleph, did you have a moment? What was your experience with realizing you were going to get divorced? How did that work for you?
My breaking point. Well, you know, I was married for 10 years and we were together for 12, and it was never in my consciousness to get divorced. It was not something that I wanted. It wasn't any goal. You know, you just worked through things.
Absolutely.
And my ex-husband is Turkish, and half of my side of the family is Turkish. And for the most part, everybody has stayed together. And I knew for a long time that things were not good. And I remember for like 4 or 5 years leading up to the divorce, I was asking my ex-husband's family for help because he was very, very sad. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like he was depressive, and he needed some sort of advice or movement towards getting help that mm-hmm. I wasn't able to do. And I remember for years when I would go to Turkey, I would sit down with his mom like, you need to help me to help him. He needs help. And mm-hmm. I don't know what that looks like, but from the get-go, once Mina was born, I knew that the marriage was struggling from literally the moment she was born. Mm-hmm. I was pleading with people, help me, get him to help, or I'm going to divorce him.
How many years had you been married before Mina was born?
7.
Okay, so you had 7 years of being together.
We had 7 years being married in 2 years. Nine total.
Wow.
So it had led to the point where he had always been sad and dissatisfied with us living in the United States and not living in Turkey, but it became exacerbated once Mina was born. It just got amplified, and it just was, there was a lot more anger, there was a lot more sadness, there were weekends he would just hide himself away and cry, and I knew he needed help, and I couldn't spin the plates and keep everything spinning and all of the stress away like right. I used to. Like right. My job that I had taken upon myself was, if I could keep all of the stress away from him, then at least we could have a calm life. So I was that vaudeville plate spinner.
Right.
You know, okay, I got this one going, I got that one going. Okay, I'm going to handle this, and I'm going to handle that, and I'm going to handle the baby, and I'm going to handle this, and do dinner, and I'll do that, and clean the house, and mm-hmm. you know, then you can just be.
Mm-hmm.
And but it had reached the point beyond that I could do that, and the plates started to fall, and they were breaking, and it was creating a lot more tension and stress and anger.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more anger just directed at anything in general, and I would go every year to Turkey, and I would plead with them, please help me. I need help.
Did you feel like you were heard at all?
No, I didn't. I was greeted with, no one divorces, you just push through.
Oh, yeah.
Love fails and love ends and you don't divorce. You just put a bigger smile on the face, dear,
mm-hmm.
and all will be well.
Mm-hmm.
Greet him at the door with a bigger smile and a nice dinner and he will be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm not happy. And neither is Mina. And this is not healthy. And if we don't get help, this is the end result. And I don't really think anyone really believed that I would do it. I don't even really think I believed that I would act on it.
Right.
Because it was literally going on 6 years, you know, of pre, you know, having Mina to after having Mina that I had been asking for help. And I remember one day, it was in December of 2009, and I had just written an email to his family going, I'm scared. He's suicidal. I don't know what to do. I need you to help me. And literally within a week, he had come home, and remember, he got out of the car and looking through the window, and there was just this flame just following him, like, oh my God, he's upset, and we're gonna get this dinner table, and we're gonna get the silverware, and we're gonna get everything set so we can have dinner, and then I can put Mina to sleep. And I'm like just breaking down the next 20 minutes so that
right.
we could get through.
Right.
Let me get through
mm-hmm.
so that we can move on, and I'll put Mina to sleep, and that'll be it. And he came in and he got really in front of Mina, and Mina was just 3 years old at the time, and he bent down. And it was literally inches away from her face. And he's like, I'm going to move everything in this house to Turkey and ship it to Turkey. And are you coming with me? And this little three-year-old, I was watching her from the other side of the living room. She took her books and she slammed them on the floor. And she just pointed down to the ground. And she's like, this is my home and you can go.
Wow.
And I remember watching from across the room and something physically inside of me broke. I felt a crumbling.
Mm-hmm.
And people would ask me all the time, you know, should I get divorced? Should I get married? And what's your opinion on my marriage? And I'm like, you won't know until
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that's different for everybody that is their whatever breaking point. I physically felt something crumble in my chest. I don't know what that was, but I was horrified and proud of my daughter at the same time, because she had the strength to say what I was scared to say.
Absolutely.
And
that's incredible.
That December, so, and then I went to Rhode Island to visit family for 2 weeks, and my brain was quiet
mm-hmm.
and I could think. And it was the first time in months that my brain was quiet, and I said, oh my God, we have a year to figure this out, because I don't want to be that 70-year-old couple that can't stand each other and don't talk. And I don't want to be that family that doesn't talk at the dinner table and my daughter thinks that that's okay. And I don't want her to think that this is what marriage is. And I don't want her – there were so many, I don't want this to be like ex conversations that were
right.
able to start happening in my brain. And my ex-husband came to Rhode Island for just Christmas for 2 or 3 days, and – we had a conversation, and I remember saying, we have 1 year. From right now, we have 1 year. We need to go to therapy. And I don't know if that's individual therapy. I don't know if that's couples therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if – I don't know what that looks like. But I had made an appointment for therapy for January 7th of 2010. I said, and I'm going to go, and because I got to get my head clear. You can come with me or do whatever you need to.
Mm-hmm.
He chose to wait – you know, until May of 2010. And by then I had already shifted. You know, my therapist at the time was very confrontational, you know, and really pushed me very strong for 6 months to look and question why I was doing this, why I was enabling, why I was, you know, putting everybody else's needs before my own, and why aren't you taking responsibility for your own life and your own happiness?
Mm-hmm.
And my answer was like, well, I'm mostly happy. And she's like, but what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, he doesn't interact with us 90% of the time. Mina and I have a wonderful life from Monday through Friday. Saturdays he comes home and, you know, it's difficult. He's upset. He's angry or whatever. And Sundays he goes for a hike. So I says, you know, it's a Saturday. I know that I can plan that on a Saturday, it's going to be a difficult day. But every other day during the week, I have a lovely life with my daughter.
Right, right.
I said, so I'm mostly happy. I said, how many people can say that they're 80% happy most of the time and can plan the day that they're probably not going to be happy?
Right.
Yeah. So you just say, okay, you just put on extra coffee and you have a little wine at night and you just kind of have the balance, you know, the bookends in the beginning of the day and the end of the day, and you make it through. And that was life. And that was what I was going to do until that happened, you know, in December. And I'm like, okay, we got to work this out. Right. And, by May and him going to therapy, he started to recognize things were not okay. And I could see that he was changing, mm-hmm. you know, and he would leave notes, you know, thank you for a lovely dinner, or I really appreciated this. And it's not like I still wanted to get divorced. Like, I would sit there with that post-it note from the microwave and I would go, wow, that's aware. He really took the time to write the note, to say he appreciated the meal and said thank you. And I would have this emotional meter because I didn't want to get divorced.
Right.
I didn't want to be a statistic. Right. I didn't want to have these two houses and my child, right. you know, and oh, if so there was agree. Any way that this would spark any sort of emotion, then of course I wanted to sit with that and try to see if I could fan that flame. And I would take those post-it notes and I would sit there for a good 15 minutes and I'd go, lovely. Nope. Don't feel anything. And I would put the post-it note down. And then, you know, the next day or the next week or whatever. I mean, I honestly could see he was trying.
Mm-hmm.
And we honestly had good conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And it validated everything from that I had gone through with right. the marriage. And it was wonderful to sit in August of 2010 with my ex. And he's like, you know, I'm so sorry. He said, I understand now. I understand that this that I have done or the circumstances has been hard for you. And I get it now. And I understand that it's better for all three of us to be happy separately
mm-hmm.
than for us all to be miserable together. He's like, I get it. He said, and I'm not going to fight you on this divorce. He's like, I see the importance and how we need to shift.
That's a really powerful discussion to have.
It was. It was a 3-hour conversation over in Turkey in his family's garden of the apartment complex because I knew that he needed his family around him
mm-hmm.
for me to be able to tell him I wanted a divorce.
You know, it's interesting how perceptive when we are in that space of really being genuine with ourselves, how perceptive we are and what a gift in my viewpoint from what it is that you just said about knowing what he needed so this conversation can happen. And you had referred to, you had said something earlier that I thought was really, really important, which was the conversations that were able to start happening within your brain. Like to even entertain ideas is one thing, but then to start having the conversations about those ideas and giving yourself permission to entertain the idea of divorce or the process of divorce or, you know, how that means. I mean, that, and it is a processing. It definitely
is.
To give yourself that permission to have those conversations with yourself initially. So powerful. So powerful. Yeah. And then that opened up. What I'm seeing is that opened that up for you to see what he needed to have that conversation. And what a gift.
It was, I feel like it was hard for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. I knew that when I needed to get divorced, I knew what I needed. I had gone through like 7 months of therapy.
Mm-hmm.
My therapist had says, you know, it's time to mourn the marriage because
mm-hmm.
it's not the marriage you wanted. And in order for you to move on, you need to mourn it. So I had mourned it and I had seen what I needed to do. And I had seen what was best for me and for my daughter and for my ex-husband as well. He needed to be happy and he needed to be untethered from the life that was chaining him,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I know he felt chained
mm-hmm.
and kind of trapped. And this wasn't the life that he wanted. And he wouldn't step out to do it unless I pushed that in motion,
right?
You know, and said, okay, here, I'm going to hold us and we're going to work through it. And, you know, he and I have had over the course of the last 4 years, we've had very powerful conversations. It's definitely been a roller coaster. It's not been easy. It's been combative and conflicted, but there have been definite, I guess, epiphanies, you know, on both ends, and acknowledgments and apologies and wanting to start anew. And there's a lot of emotions that go with that. And there's a lot of fear and acceptance. So there's it's just a stew.
It is.
It's a stew.
There's a good word for it, absolutely.
And, you know, it's whatever you make out of it.
Well,
you know?
And I think that's the privilege of it, as long as we can actually give ourselves that allowance. So right now we're going to take a break. We're actually going to have a moment and listen to some sponsors, and we'll return in a few minutes.
The List is a resource for the entrepreneur, solopreneur community and all that makes Utah an amazing place to work, play, and live. Join our community of sponsors today and show that you are proud to be a part of all that makes Utah unique. We work hard to promote you and your business by providing more than just an ad, like opportunities for active networking. Contact us today to learn more about our unique sponsorship packages at 801-234-9095.
A recent survey states that 75% of Americans would like to be self-employed, but only 5% are. My name is John Usher with the Entrepreneur Source. I can help you learn about opportunities that use your transferable skills and strengths while giving you the lifestyle, income, and equity build you deserve. I can help you find the right opportunity and then help you get the financing, including paying yourself through the startup phase. Please call me for a free consultation at 801-731-0180.
Welcome back to the Divorcee Cafe on Divine Wisdom Media. This is Asia.
This is Aleph.
And we are talking about ourselves, our divorces, the different dynamics that are there. At this moment, I have a very, it's kind of a burning question. And I've met your daughter, Mina, and she's delightful. And I'm just kind of curious, in this process, It's certainly not something that does not affect our children. But I'm just kind of curious, how has this affected Mina? What have you seen coming up for
her?
Well,
it's been a roller coaster for her. When we first got divorced, or was in the divorce process, I guess I should say, I had to kind of create a space within myself to allow Mina to develop a relationship with her father in a safe environment, which meant my house. And which means I needed to take whatever was going on in the divorce and put it in a box and stick it in a drawer and allow the visitations to have at my house so that she would get comfortable with him. Because up until the point that he left, she had almost no relationship with him. You know, he never really took her out or did anything. I think in like 3 years, he took her out of the house twice for an hour each time. So there was never that bond, and it needed to be worked on. And she needed to feel safe and comfortable doing that and getting to know her dad on her own basis as her own self. And so we went through a 7 to 8 month process, and it literally was a day-to-day thing of helping her to feel secure in that relationship. So the first month was the three of us sat on the couch, and he would come over and he'd read her a book, and she'd hold my hand and she'd sit in the middle. He'd read a book and she's like, okay, I'm done now. You can go. And so he'd go, and he'd come back a couple of days later for an hour, and I would sit in the living room on the couch, and they would be on the floor playing, and then she set the tone for what she was comfortable with, and when she was done, she was done. And the nice thing about it is that both he and I recognized that that was her comfort level, and we both respected that, and we allowed her to kind of trust in her own way and in her own time. And then the next month, I was able to kind of gradually remove myself from her sight. So then she could gradually feel more comfortable being alone and developing her own relationship. And then as the years have gone, there's definitely been an up and down roller coaster and a lot more questions now that she's older.
So how old was she when you were talking about that with this, the first establishment? How old
about
was
three
she?
And a half.
About three and a half.
So it was a three and a half, highly imaginative. I mean, she's been always very articulate. She's been always knowing her own strength and her own truth. And she'll be like, okay, thank you for reading it's time to go, you know? And the more we tried to expand her boundaries, she would articulate where her boundary was. You know, we were trying to get her to go out of the house and go in the car with him beyond the house premises.
Right.
And she would use lovely little excuses. You know, he'd say, well, do you want to go to the ice cream store around the corner? And she's 3 and a half. She's like, thank you very much, but I've had my sugar quota for the day. Maybe next time.
Sugar quota.
Yes.
That must, yeah.
And, you know, and then, you know, it was, okay, let's try to get her in the car to go for a ride. And he said, well, would you like to go to your favorite toy store in Foothill and we'll get you a toy? Thank you very much, but I have a lot of toys already. Maybe we could put it on a list for my birthday, which is in October.
Which is in October.
And this is like May.
I don't mind.
You know, this is May. And so, you know, she was really clear about where her comfort level was. Mm-hmm. And, we gradually extended the time so that she would have one overnight every week. And then it became, you know, it was little by little and baby steps. And then she and her dad really developed a very strong bond because I was able to take myself out of that equation. Like my ego didn't need to be part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really hard when you're in the middle of a divorce that is obviously combative and
absolutely
difficult. It took 8 to 9 months. And to say, okay, this isn't about me.
Mm-hmm.
This is about the well-being of my child, and this is about her relationship with her dad.
Right.
And whatever I need to do to keep myself in check is what I need to do. I swept my house a lot.
Right.
So I literally
swept your house a lot.
I did.
Had a very clean
I'm
house.
Just going to sweep all of my frustration out the door. I got to keep busy. And it's a physical manifestation of the yuck that I have inside. So I'm just going to sweep all that stuff out and
be
very mindful of my words. You can insert whatever you want in there, okay? Yeah. But I'm being very careful and politically correct. And then now as she's older, she's like, so Mama, who filed for divorce? And why did you file for divorce? And I don't really like this. And I get jealous of my friends who have both parents at home. And we have ongoing conversations that, you know, Mama filed. I'll take ownership of that.
Mm-hmm.
I filed.
Mm-hmm.
I was not happy.
Mm-hmm.
I was not happy for you, me, or your dad. This is what the best thing was for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't want you to experience this. I want you to learn what it's like to be in a loving relationship. And now you know, because now you see me and my new partner relate and interact and communicate.
Right.
You know, this is the extreme. And this is the life that I want from you, for you.
Right.
You know, and I made hard decisions for all of our family. And I will own that. And I will say, yes, if you want to put fault or blame, I'm the one to blame.
It's interesting how the perceptions show up the way they do. You know, even with the question of filing, you know, who filed? And where does that come from? You know, whose attitude is, you know, assigning a particular meaning to that word? I mean, I had it come back at me. It's like, well, she pulled the trigger. And it's kind of like, wow, that's volatile, you know? I mean, that's loaded to go on with the with what that means. It's like, so I pulled the trigger, you pulled the trigger. Why does that? And for some people, that really matters.
It does matter.
It really
because
matters
they need
who,
to kind of compartmentalize that in their brain. And however that's being represented to the children, you know, as you know, well, your mom decided, yes, I did. I will absolutely take ownership because your father's happiness, my happiness, and your happiness superseded where we were living right now.
Right.
This is not a life. This is existing.
Right.
And I refuse to sit in a life where I am just existing.
Right.
And I refuse to, this is not your baseline. I want more for you. I want you to be able to stand up and say, I deserve better.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I will totally own that.
Yeah. Well, even having that show up, I mean, it offers or sometimes even forces little breakout sessions of what does that mean, you know, and you had the opportunity to say, yeah, I'm going to own this and this is why. And others in their divorces, maybe they don't have the ownership. They'll make excuses about it, or maybe they'll own it and say, because of these reasons, and they're more invested in the blame because having this idea of pulling the trigger and making that decision is still kind of a shameful thing. That support isn't there. That the realization of a choice is a choice, you know, and this is a choice. Somebody needs to step into the choice or file. In this case, as much as we don't want to be married, or as much as we realize that the marriage needs to end now, legally,
right,
the state owns our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the country owns our marriage, or recognizes our marriage, whatever it is. And so there are particular avenues that need to be followed, recognized. You know, there's a process.
There's a process to it. And she understands the process and the need and what it took and how long it was.
Right.
And, you know, I feel, and this is just my point of view, that if you're going to file for divorce, mm-hmm. that to hold yourself with integrity.
Absolutely.
Because whatever you do,
right,
is going to come back around, and you're going to have these questions.
Absolutely.
With your child. Doesn't matter when, what age, 10 years, 20 years down the line. My whole, I guess, alignment, mm-hmm. with my divorce is I need to be able to look myself in the mirror and look Mina in the eye and say, I never trashed your dad.
Right.
I always held him in the highest regard. I did whatever I thought was best at the time.
Right.
You know, you do what you know at the time.
It's,
were there things that you
absolutely.
Could have done better? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But I did what I knew what was best at the time. And I never did anything to harm or hurt or degrade or defame anybody,
mm-hmm.
while going through the process, to anybody.
Right.
Or especially to her.
Right, right. Especially. And then having understanding that giving yourself the gift, and I'm going to share this with my, you know, include myself in this one, but to give ourselves the gift of saying, I did the best I knew at the time. I did the best I knew how. I did my best at that moment. And really knowing you can stand with that in integrity is, I believe, a very healthy place to come from, where it's, you may feel frantic, you may feel fearful, you may feel very blinded, you may feel,
feel,
I mean, there's
very
so
angry
much
and frustrated.
Angry. Oh yeah, there's so much
angry,
emotion.
Frustrated, hurt. Oh my God,
absolutely.
I can't believe this.
Absolutely,
dumbfounded, clueless,
dumbfounded is a good one.
Insane. I mean, there are so many
yeah.
adjectives that
absolutely.
Can be applied to your own personality.
Yeah.
When you're going
absolutely.
Through a divorce.
And we're just even talking about filing. I mean,
yeah.
the whole idea here that I find fascinating is that there is a procedure and a process, and it is called filing for divorce. And that's it. You can in that one little phrase, that is a process. It is just, you know, like, I'm filing my taxes. And I'm not saying that to be offensive to anybody. It's like, it is a process. But what tags it is this myriad of emotions that at some point need to be released from it if you can. And sometimes you don't. But boy, are these, like, you know, right into the avenue of, wow, here are some really emotionally charged. It's like a lightning rod. I'm mm-hmm. filing for a divorce. Kapow! You know, and it just keeps hitting it.
Explodes
it explodes
your
hitting.
Life.
Oh, absolutely.
It explodes your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
How did your kids deal with it?
When I got divorced, my youngest was 13, and my oldest was had just turned 23, and so they were on the older side of what was going on. And in my world, I realized it was very apparent to me that in doing what I knew the best to do at that time, my motivation was to allow my children to have as much control in their lives as possible. I was not divorcing them, I was divorcing their father. And so there were certain privileges, certain things that I was going to, and I chose to, and I still choose to, attitudes I choose to take, that may, you know, others may or may not agree with, but the way I chose to do it, we had agreed on joint physical and joint legal custody, which meant my two youngest children, well, actually my three youngest children, needed to go back and forth between homes. Luckily for them, I had moved six houses away, and in the area that I was living, it was all, you know, 6-acre little gentleman, you know, farms, kind of little ranchettes. So it was about a half a mile away. But even with that kind of proximity, it allowed some really realistic movement to happen. My daughter was very, very unhappy with me. She was very unhappy with me. I'll just keep it there. I'm not going to speak for her, but her actions were very loud in that, I don't want to see you, Mom. And so she never chose to come to see me. And she was 17. at the time. So she was close enough to, you know, it was just like, that's a moot point. I'm not going to force anything. And so the real movement happened between the 15-year-old and the 13-year-old, who would go back and forth between our homes. And at one point during the week, my 15-year-old, I remember this, we were on a camping trip. I would take him hiking every summer, and we were talking about flexibility and freedom, and school year was about to start. And he had mentioned something at the camping trip, and then as school had gotten into motion, he came up to me one of the weeks that they were both at my house, and he says, "Hey, Mom, you know, I'm not really comfortable sleeping here at this new house. I'm not really comfortable." And granted, the house I had built, the family had been living in for the last 18 years was just down the road, and I'm like, I fully understand. He says, "Is it okay if we do something different?" And I says, "Well, what do you have in mind? I'd be happy to hear what that is." And he says, "Well, what if I came up on Monday and Tuesday, and I was down there on Wednesday?" So he had this already planned. It was very clear that this 15-year-old had thought this out. And I was like, "You know what? That's a great idea. You are in charge of your life. You can see better than I can at this moment what is best for you in this situation. So I would like to honor that. Let's try it out." Now, in my heart, I'm like, "No," I'm trying to pull him back, you know, like, "No, stay with me. I love you. I want you to be with me. I want you to validate me." And at the same time, I thought, I just can't do that. Let's see how this goes. And that is actually what ended up being the longevity of, hey, this is something that I can be working with. We can all work through this and allow for the process for each individual child. And I had 6 individual experiences, and
I just
we
can
even talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, one child is hard enough. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, the span was what it was. But at this moment, we do need to take a break, and we will be returning here shortly.
Are you dissatisfied with your career path? Have you recently lost your job? Would you like a plan B? Many people today no longer enjoy their jobs, or they're not making enough money. Being self-sufficient is an American dream. To find the right business, you must understand all the criteria that is important to you, and then begin to learn about opportunities that fit that criteria. I help my clients learn about opportunities that can be right for them, and then help them find the best way to finance the business, including paying themselves through the startup. My name is John Usher. Please call me at 801-731-0180 for a free assessment.
Hi, this is Keith Brady, owner of North Star Mortgage and Home Inspectors. For over 16 years, our commitment is always 100% customer satisfaction, which is why we are the only broker left in Box Elder County. You will find our secure online loan application to be user-friendly and full of current market information. Apply online at northstarutah.com and ask about our free home inspection with purchase. At North Star Mortgage and Home Inspectors, our goal is to make your most important purchase as stress-free as possible.
Welcome back to the Divorcee Cafe on Divine Wisdom Media. We are going to close up with our last segment right now. And this is Aleph.
This is Asia.
And we're just kind of going to go into like a little bit of the fallout for,
Yes. You
know, and I have to say, I felt a bit naive. I'll just say,
Yeah. You
know, I'm like, I'm not divorcing anyone else. I'm divorcing him, you know, and this
Right. Is
not a surprise.
Right.
Like, I honestly felt that I could keep relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back and I go, okay, it's more than just, a marriage or a relationship. There's like a whole perception. But I had become close to my ex-in-laws and the family. And, you know, not to say that we didn't have our difficulties.
Right.
You know, his mother and I had difficulties in the beginning of our marriage. But we were able to work them out.
Mm-hmm.
Where I actually saw her more during the year than my own mom, either via Skype or with visits, because they would come and spend extended time with us from Turkey
Sure. In
Utah, or spending 5 weeks in Turkey in the summer. So there was probably about 3 months that I would see my mother-in-law, my in-laws,
mm-hmm.
during the year.
Mm-hmm.
And we became very close. And I enjoyed it. We would cook in the morning over Skype. On Saturdays, we'd have breakfast, we'd have tea, you know,
wow.
We would talk about different things, you know, she would read to Mina while I would cook. It was a very integrated family life, even though there were thousands of miles apart,
mm-hmm.
you know, And I was so close to his family. Like, his aunt and I, she was like a second mom or a third mom, and his grandparents. And when I divorced, I'm like, well, they all know what I've been going through, because I have been constantly talking about this for years.
Right, right.
This is not a surprise.
Right.
You know, they would defend me, you know, if, you know, he got upset. They go, well, you know, she kind of knows a little bit more about X situation. And he'd be like, but you're my parents. Mm-hmm. So I really felt this bond, and that went away. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I thought that we would get divorced and we would visit our families in Turkey and we could have tea together and we could just have this symbiotic relationship. You know, you come over to my aunt's house for tea and I'll bring Mina over for tea. Just because we're divorced, I didn't change who I was, and I didn't change my love for his family, you know? Right. And that so was not the case. And it was difficult. I mourned that relationship, you know, for I think 2 years, his family chose not to speak to me. And that was really hard.
You know, you and I were talking about this just really recently. Perhaps it was even yesterday. And you made a comment that I identify with so well. And that comment was where you said, "I don't think anybody thought I would really follow through with it."
Yeah.
And you know, I have actually interviewed, you know, kind of just informally, you know, as you found myself talking to other divorcees, and I'm hearing, I would hear kind of the similar energy behind it. When I moved out, I just, like I said, I had just moved up the road, and that was a very interesting story. I'd been telling the family that week. I said, I am going to be moving out. I was trying to do what I thought was best as far as preparation goes. I'm going to be moving out. It's going to be within the next week or so. And just I'm trying to prepare you. And for me, I was saying it, and I don't know if the kids were really in, I don't know how if they could really understand what that meant. What does that mean? You know, but nobody really asked me. The kids didn't really ask me, what does that mean? And my ex-husband didn't ask me a word. And so I was like, well, you know, this is going to happen. And I had arranged for, and I knew I had no support. There was no support to help me with this. So I'd actually arranged for a moving company to send over a couple of guys and a truck. And I it's not like I had to do this during the middle of the day, and I didn't feel like I had really any friends that could or would show up to help me move items out of my house so that I could actually establish a different residence. And, you know, how do we break that down? And anyway, so I actually moved out, and we had the movers. I sent the kids off to school. The movers showed up, and within, you know, a few hours, I had just moved up the road, unpacked the truck, and they had left, and I went back to my my home. That it still was where the kids lived, and I cleaned up all of the paraphernalia. I just vacuumed, you know, I tried to make it as clean and tidy as possible. There was just large pieces of furniture, you know, missing. Actually, you know, and so when they came home, it was obviously strange to them, but at the same time, it was the new normal, right? And the thing was, is when I did leave, a couple nights after that, my husband came up to the house, and he's just like dumbfounded, bewildered. And he says, isn't there any way we can work this out? And I said to him, why didn't you ask me that question a year ago when I told you I wanted a divorce? And he says, I never thought you would ever follow through. I didn't think you'd do it.
Right. And they don't, you know, and I think that, you know, when I had first entertained in that August of 2010 and says, you know, this is what December of 2009. And then August of 2010, said, okay, I'm done. Like, we need to move on. And he'd asked for 3 months. Mm-hmm. I need 3 months to show you and Mina how much I love you, and I can change. And I said, okay, I'll give you 3 months, you know. And in that 3 months, it's the little things. And I think what people don't understand is that when people recognize that they need to change and that this is the end of the divorce, it's not the big things that I'm going to buy you a laptop, and that's going to show you that I love you.
Right.
Okay, right. It's not that. It's the, I'm going to pick up the dishes from the table while you're giving your daughter your bath, mm-hmm. so that when you come down from giving her a bath, the dishes and the clean are clean, the kitchen is clean, and now we can have our time because I care about my time with you. That's a little thing, but that shows me that you care,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
So when after 3 months, you know, you're... nothing has changed. And I said, you know, okay, it's November now.
Right.
I said,
right.
Well, you know, we haven't done anything. No, dude, I did my stuff. I worked on me, you know, and I still made you sandwiches and I still, you know, made you a lunch when you went hiking. And mm-hmm. you would say, why are you making me a lunch? Because I care about you, you know, and this is important, you know.
Right.
Just because we're going through this doesn't mean I don't care.
Right.
You know?
Right. And that's
and this
such
is my
an interesting
choice.
Place to be. Absolutely.
You know? And then it's like, well, now I'm crying. He's crying. And well, what am I going to do? And I didn't think you would do that. Okay. This is the third time in less than 12 months
right.
that I'm telling you,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that doesn't mean that I don't care about you. And, you know, it doesn't mean that you don't have a family.
Mm-hmm.
We can work this out. It doesn't need to be a statistic. It doesn't need to be what a divorce is.
Right.
You know, we just live in different places. We work on us,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then we can be okay. Like,
right.
I don't hate you. I don't have any anger to you.
Right.
This is just not working for me.
In this way that it is right now. I mean, it's an opportunity for restructuring. And I remember saying that to my kids. And in new, you know, let's one relationship or one version of how we're used to our relationships is now... no longer
right.
what the norm is or what it was. And so here's an opportunity to restructure. And I remember using the word restructure a lot, which is, and I got to admit at the time, everybody was still very angry that even though it had been a year, right, there had been the year of there, you know, the therapy and the marriage counseling and the constant, I mean, in my world, every Sunday morning before we would head to church, I remember at the time my husband would just say, so are you still serious? Do you still want to get divorced? So, I mean, again, it's like this conversation was happening on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
And it was brought up and it was very stressful. And then we would go to church. You know, I mean, you were saying how you knew Saturdays were the day that it was, you know, mostly happy except Saturday. Mine was mostly happy except Sunday. And that cycle, excuse me, that cycle of this is what this conversation is happening, and, you know, and this is when we go into our counseling, and this is what we're going to rehash. And I mean, there was a time frame, a very, very real linear time frame that this discussion was going on. And there was still, what you were saying, there were still these moments of being very kind, and let's see what we can do. I mean, how does this be? But then when you finally get to the place where nothing has changed. And I remember that same word, you know, that phrase was coming out of my mouth, you know, was like, well, I haven't seen the change, or I haven't seen, you know, and that we, it can be a completely another discussion of what it is and perceptions and what does change mean and how does change look and that kind of thing. But as far as the fallout and what that meant was you finally made the choice. I finally made the choice. The filing happened.
There's
the decision was made and the shift.
There's a shift
right.
in how you relate. You are not in a relationship, but you have a relationship because
right.
you have children and you have a history.
Right.
And I think the saddest thing for me was that I'm the memory keeper.
Like, sure.
I can remember the first time I saw my ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first time he gave me roses. Mm-hmm. I remember him driving by 2 days after we meet and I'm pulling weeds out and seeing his car drive by my house and going, that bastard didn't stop to say hi. And I was completely dirty because I was pulling weeds out, and my roommates at the time, I lived with four guys at the time. So understand, I was so dirty from being frustrated he didn't stop to say hi.
Mm-hmm.
I was so dirty that even guys wouldn't let me into my own house. They hosed me down. I said, I appreciate that you're frustrated that the guy you like didn't call you, but you are way too dirty to come into our like dirty house, you know?
The guy.
So, you know, I remember all of this stuff. I'm the memory keeper, and I remember what he liked, and I remember how he takes his coffee, and remembered that he liked these Italian chopped vegetables. And
mm-hmm.
I remember I had such a moment. I was in Dan's, like, after he left, and there was this jar of Italian hot chopped vegetables sitting on the shelf with all of the relishes. And it, I remember I hadn't seen it in years. And I literally had searched because you have this tuna salad where I put 2 tablespoons of that in the tuna salad. that he would have every Saturday when he came home from his hike. Uh-huh. And I had searched everywhere for these vegetables, and I could not find them during the last 4 years of our marriage. And here they are. They're on this shelf. And I'm going, I sat there with that, and I go, do I get that for him?
Mm-hmm.
Do I not get that for him? Is that weird? Because he would really appreciate that. But we're not married anymore. Do I have a right to get him these vegetables? They're only $4. And you have this little dialogue of what is appropriate. I'm like, okay, you know what? I know that he would like them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to get them for him because mm-hmm. I know that he would enjoy them. Mm-hmm. But I can't hold on to how he's going to receive them.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I remember having multiple conversations with him on various things like this. And, you know, I gave him the vegetables. Like, why did you do that? I said, because you like them. And I remember it was really hard for me to find them for many years. And I saw them and I knew you would enjoy them.
Right.
I was like, oh, I don't know what to do with that. I'm like, that's okay.
He's got to have that whole dialogue.
You know, and the same thing, like, even last year, like, the international market had green plums.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time in 15 years that I've been here that there were green plums, and mm-hmm. these are my ex-husband's favorite green plums that you can get only in Turkey, and never saw them at any international market. I'd always buy them online every spring when they would come out. And I remember sitting there, there's this box of green plums, and I go, okay, I'm not going to get them for him, because now that's not that boundary that I can't cross anymore.
Sure.
I don't have that comfort level. But sure. If I speak to him on the phone, my comfort levels, hey, you know, I was at
Guess
Black Cherry.
Guess what I discovered?
I saw this. It's the first time. If you're in the area,
right.
They're there.
There they are.
And mm-hmm. I give that responsibility of if he chooses to engage in mm-hmm. that, that's up to him.
Yeah, and that's even evolved.
And he later on is like, why did you tell me that?
Uh-huh.
And I said, because I knew you liked them.
Right.
And it was the first time since we had moved to Utah or any time in the United States that I saw your favorite fruit
mm-hmm.
other than your home country,
mm-hmm.
and I thought you would enjoy them. And that was it. That's the bottom line. I have no attachment to that. And people don't know how to understand that, because when divorced, you're supposed to be angry, you're supposed to mean, you're going to hate each other.
Yes.
And I'm like, no.
Yeah, there's supposed to be this perception of, so if you're going to break your marriage and this union, then you need to break everything so that the comfortability of, okay, we can compartmentalize this and then feel comfortable with it. And so I think when it comes to fallout, it falls back on you, it falls back on me, it falls back on us as we're holding space for more than just, I'm getting a divorce and I'm going to divorce my husband. You know, it's holding space for yourself, your children, if there are children, your ex-husband, and the community, and the perceptions that keep getting thrown at you. I know for me, in my experience, the fallout had a lot to do with my LDS community and my neighborhood, and what that was like, because what I ended up doing was just moving up the street, and I was still in the same ward. I was still in the same boundaries for school. There was a lot of really cohesiveness that helped with my children, but people did not know what to do with me. It was like, what do we do with her? She does not fit in this box. She does not fit in this particular area for us. So how do I relate appropriately, or how do I relate at all? Or am I supposed to hate her? Am I supposed to be okay with her? What if I do? What does he say? What are the children? I mean, there's so many things that we bring into, what am I supposed to do with this reaction? Like, even with your ex-husband, why did you tell me about what I like? What, you're not supposed to like me. We're divorced. Is that where he's coming from? Perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I've even said some things like that with my children, and it's like, what are we supposed to do with this? And my ex-husband, why are you actually offering this? And it's because my integrity of a good person is a constant. Our relationship, defined by marriage, is no longer the constant. And so the fallout doesn't have to be, and the fallout is from the divorce and from the choice, but the integrity of staying in line with who you are and your goodness and all
change.
Of that. Yeah. I mean, I changed my perception and how I want to connect with this person and how I relate in the community as a divorcee, or as, you know, with this new label, but my integrity is still the same. The person I am is still this very kind, loving, I want to be compassionate, and I'm doing the best I can here. I'm not going to say I'm doing it perfectly, but I'm going to do the best I can.
Right.
And in that space, I know you like green plums. You know, and here, and you know, and in my space, I knew my kids really like to have a little, you know, like fires, and let's go you know, camping and have tinfoil dinners. And it's kind of like, why are you doing that, Mom? And it's like, because
you like it.
You like it. You know, let's do this. And so it's just these things where people are like, how do we pull this together?
Well, it's just alien.
It is. It's very odd. So this is the reason why we actually have decided to come together and have the Divorcee Cafe, because this is not unusual. Your fallout, my fallout, anyone's fallout is fallout, because the dynamic has changed dramatically. And so to know that there is a community or a space where others can come and say, hey, I got fallout going on and I just want to hold, you know, like, understand what do I do here? I've got
the
a question
conversation
about
needs
the
to
conversations
happen.
And we can hold space for conversations to be any
and
conversation.
So we are holding it.
It's exactly what
and
we're
so
doing.
What are
we're
we
so
doing?
Good at conversation.
So what are we doing?
Why are we doing this? What is it? So yes. Filling in those blanks, inviting others to be there, be a part of a new conversation.
So
absolutely.
Yes, we are have Divorcee Cafe has a physical location once a month.
Yes, it
at
does.
The 7th and 7th Street studio. Mm-hmm. It is the first Wednesday of the month at 645 East, 700 South.
Yes.
And we have facilitators that have one aspect or another that touches upon divorce, whether or not it's health, financial, coaching,
absolutely,
food,
children,
blending families, anything that would affect
belief changes,
the absolutely. Divorce, mm-hmm. your life after, you know, it's holding space from like 9 a.m. until 8 p.m. It's for people to find their own tribe and
right.
to feel less alone and less like an alien.
And less like, and you know, and for those that really want to have a more intimate conversation, from 6 to 8, we actually have what we would want to call a circle gathering, or, you know, it's more focused and it is more intimate. And so then that would be more of a registration process where we could actually know that
yes,
these
it's a more
people
workshop
want to, it's a more exactly where we can actually
so
offer
please
that.
Come visit
so
us.
It would be awesome to have you join and just let us know, you know, let's have new conversations and, you know that there is support out there and there's no reason to feel alone because you don't have to be alone. We'd like to thank you for listening to the Divorcee Cafe. Elif and I have had a great time visiting with each other, having a conversation. We'd like to actually continue the conversation with you. The topic next month is going to be
finances and
finances.
Divorce. Yes, my rock star friend Tracy Dean is going to be in the house, and she's going to be talking about what you need to know before you sign your decree, because we all know that I got
goodness.
Screwed out of one word. I don't want that to happen to anybody.
Fair and equal, question mark.
So let's talk about what you need to know while you're filing, before you file, and what do you do after you file, like after
right.
the divorce is done. So she's going to be here to talk about that, and she'll be here to answer questions if you guys want to call in.
Absolutely. Valuable information. Absolutely. Well, and then everyone can visit divinewisdommedia.com and go to the current shows section and click on Divorcee Cafe. And, you know, interact with us. Let's have this conversation going. Leave a comment. You know, tell us your story. Post a question. We
if
can
you have an
bring
idea
in. Absolutely.
For a story,
absolutely.
Please
We'd
leave
love
it
to
because
have that.
We love ideas.
And we also have a Facebook page as well. It's
yes.
Divorcee Cafe on Facebook. And you're more than welcome to make a comment there, see who the guests are going to be at the Divorcee Cafe. We do have a lineup. We have others that do choose to be there of professionals that want to help you. And there's a scheduling also on when they're able to be there. And if you have specific questions, whether it is about finances or childcare or anything, be happy to have that support there for you. I mean, you know what you need, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
and we're certainly loving the idea that we could actually have a space to support those needs.
And the next Divorcee Cafe opens up December 2nd.
December 2nd is when we're going to be meeting. We'd love to see you there. Thanks
Come
so
have
much.
Tea.
Oh, and baklava. It's wonderful.